The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Mike, good afternoon. Open line on Man in Line today till 1 o'clock. Call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp on 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com, and you're on the air. If you're a Manx Telecom subscriber and you're using manx.net, you will have to pay for every email address that you have next year. If you want to keep your manx.net account, whether it's manx.net, isleofman.com or isleofman.org email address, you'll have to pay for it for every one that you have. You may have more than one, but you will have to pay. How much? You heard Amy reporting in the news. She's back with all the details, Amy.
Manx Telecom says in the 25 years it's subsidised the Manx.net service, email technology and security requirements have evolved significantly, meaning more and more investment in specialised expertise and infrastructure is needed. As of today, Janara, which has been providing the technical platform for several years, has assumed full ownership and customer support responsibility. To keep your email address, it will now cost £65 a year. Those who choose not to pay will have their accounts permanently deleted in April next year. Gary Lamb, CEO of Manx Telecom, says transitioning the service to Janara ensures customers can continue using their Manx.net email address with specialist management. He says the change protects customers and the service itself for the long term, while Manx Telecom continues to focus on fibre broadband, mobile networks and business connectivity for the Isle of Man. Meanwhile, people are being reminded to remain vigilant against online scams that may appear to relate to the changes. Mike Haywood, director of the Cybersecurity Centre for the Isle of Man, says Manx Telecom will never send clickable links about this change. He adds, always go directly to www.manx.net by typing it yourself into the browser. If you wish to keep your at manx.net, at isleofman.com or at isleofman.org email address, you will now need to go to manx.net, register with Janara before the 20th of January 2026 and choose your plan, which will either be £65 a year or £6.50 a month. Once you've registered and paid, your email service will continue without interruption. Accounts that haven't been paid for by the 20th of January will be suspended until the 20th of April. They'll then be permanently deleted the following day.
Get that? Pay or you're out, basically. It used to be that if you pay to be a Manx Telecom subscriber, you would get use of Manx.net for that privilege. Now it will be £65 per year or £6.50 per month. That's a price rise, isn't it? Is that a price rise? Or is that a diminution of service? I don't know. How do you see that? Of course, Manx Telecom, very little to do with the Isle of Man at the moment, really, because, well, it's not owned by anybody in the Isle of Man, is it? Is it Basalt Investment Partners completed their acquisition? I think it's got to be 6-7 years ago now. So Basalt Investment Partners. So the only bit of Manx in Manx Telecom is the customers, really, isn't it? £65 a year. So if you don't pay up, you will lose your Manx.net account or your isleofman.org account or isleofman.com account. They will go £65 for everyone that you own. Any thoughts on this? I mean, it is a price rise, isn't it? It's a price rise. I mean, they'll say it's somebody else's to do. These are Janara, the people that have been running Manx.net for ages, and obviously now they're going to get the money out of it. It's a price rise. It is a price rise, isn't it? David's with us now. Hello, David.
Hi, Andy, and I've just got to talk about the letter I sent to you. the other day, and we had a commission's meeting on Monday night, so it's all in the public domain. This is the letter that we got from the DOI Minister, Michelle Hayward, about we're having all the local authorities are meeting the MLCs on the 28th of October at the Legislative Building. So there's going to be a lot of people talking there, and a lot of local authority members who are available to come along, and I would encourage them to come along and support us on this draconian act that's been proposed by the minister and her department. And of course it was Mr. Hooper from Ramsey. He won't be listening today, but he'll probably look at it later because he's in Timbald. Is that this clause 5 that they're wanting to have in this bill is where they could instruct the local authority to do things, and the charge becomes on to the local authority and not central government, which to me is an appalling way to actually put legislation together. And you've seen the letter yourself, and yeah. I'll just quote a couple clauses on it there. She's just writing to us to say, you know, you're going to meet the MLCs next week, but I can give you an assurance. She can't give us any assurance because she may not be there next year. And hopefully, in my opinion, she won't, because she's not listening to the general public and to those 26 local authorities who say this legislation you're trying to bring forward is really draconian and doesn't work. And the clause 5 that we want to actually, hopefully the MLCs will see that and say that this clause 5 was never consulted on. And she's putting it in the letter here. Once it gets royal assent, and when bills go to royal assent, then they're approved by the king, she's going to have discussions on it. Well, you don't do it that way, Andy. When you have legislations coming forward, you have the discussions first. You have all these issues thrown out on the table and discussed, and you have discussions with local authorities and they give their concern on it. And then you go forward with the bill and then go for royal assent. I know it sounds a bit crazy to people who are not involved in this, but this is something really, yeah. in my opinion, all my life, and I've been in politics quite a number of times now, in and out, whether local authority or the national government there.
So, David, what, I mean, for the new listener, what's at the bottom of all this? What is government trying to do with this legislation?
Control. That's all it is. And who pays for the things to be done? I'll give you a prime example on that. The local authority is responsible for doing things in their own area, like the parks, bins, collecting the rubbish and so forth like that. So, and then the part of the DOI responsibility is they do the main roads and the main arterial routes, sweeping, picking up the leaves, which are a bit slack at the minute. You notice all the roads at the minute there. The leaves are cluttered all over the place, and after the cloudburst at the weekend, they're an absolute nightmare just to people who are slipping around and can fall over. So this is an issue where she should have, or her officers and all the politicians in there, should have said, and I'd love to find out from the members who are in that department, which is Hooper and Jodie Farragher and them, who one of them's responsible for local authorities, what discussions did they have? What internal correspondence did they have? And did they all agree to this? That's right. The biggest thing.
I mean, is this anything to do with, the situation at Balladool in Ramsey with the recycling and whatever?
Civic Amenities Site.
Yeah, when obviously one of the partners wouldn't pay into it and the DOIs had to go in and pay and what have you. Has that got anything to do with it? Because all this, as you say, they're saying that clause 5 is, we say you pay.
Yes, and that's the issue. And that's without discussion. She says she's going to do it afterwards. You don't do it like that. And it's probably to do with that, because at the end of the day, and I'd love to find out, when the department took it over for that short period, who paid for the wages? Who paid for the site? Who paid for the electricity and stuff like that? I'm not getting at the authorities up north. Like, it was one of their conscious decisions for one of their authorities that said it was costing them too much money. And they can't do it to us, because the 5 authorities in Douglas, Onchan, Braddon, Laxey and Lonnon and Santon actually own their site, but they don't up at Ramsey. So it's absolutely peculiar. And I hope that all the MLCs actually have the... Well, there's going to be a presentation from, I think, five major authorities anyway there. And I'm sure one of your reporters is going to be in the public gallery, because this will be the biggest scandal if this is passed through back to Timbald again for reinsert and back through, when the MLCs are there to say that this legislation was absolutely wrong. And try again, DOI. Okay, Andy?
Well, we'll see. Okay, thanks. Oh, by the way, what have all the MLCs said? I mean, are they happy to meet the authorities?
Oh, yes. No, it's a meeting that's been organised some time ago before the Timbald parked themselves up for the summer recess. And then don't forget, they parked it back until October. Why they couldn't have had it beforehand? Were they worried? I'm not quite sure what that game was. But I hope we get a fair crack. And a lot of people don't know any of the MLCs around the Isle of Man. But at the end of the day, they're there to protect us, the population, to make sure that if the Keys makes legislation there, that legislation is A, fit for purpose, and B, that is wanted on the island. And I'm sorry, the local authorities don't want this because it's draconian.
Okay, all right. We appreciate it. Thanks, David.
Bye.
18 minutes past 12. That meeting is on the 28th of this month, when the local authorities will be meeting the members of Legislative Council. As David said, they're there to scrutinise legislation, and a large proportion of them don't think this is a good idea, in particular with clause 5, in that the DOI can instruct local authorities to do something and pick up the cost. The whole concept of we say, you pay. I wonder whether this will come up in the general election next year. Norman's with us now. Hello, Norman.
Hello. I just hear Mr. Quirk talking about flooding and leaves and one thing and another. I don't disagree with a lot of things he says, but you need to get some of the things right here. The DOI, or the highway section, are responsible for what we call arterial routes, like verge, drains, hedge cutting, but other than that, local authorities took over the responsibility when Phil Gawn was in office for their areas, hedge cutting, clearing the drains,
right,
sweeping, and all that sort of thing. So you really need to... Some of this is down not to DOI. It's actually the local authorities' responsibility to do the stuff in their areas.
So aside of the arterial routes then, the big connectors, local authorities are responsible for jetting the drains and stuff like that to get rid of the leaves and what have you.
Yeah. Yeah. So don't be pulling the DOI down all the time, you know, because I do. I think they get such flack, and they have to go out and cut trees down that don't belong to them in all that weather.
Yeah, all right.
And such things.
Okay, all right.
And they also rightly do go out into areas which are not arterial routes. You know, they do a lot of stuff that they shouldn't really have to do now, because they are not they don't have the funds for it. They are not paid to do it.
Yeah. Well, that's because the government's cut the budget, hasn't it?
Absolutely. You know, as far as I'm concerned, highways and such things, it should have never been changed. It should have been left as it was. The government should have kept their teams to look after the areas.
Yeah, the old DHPP.
Well, DOI and Highway Board.
Yeah.
And it's like, now I know for a fact that the duty officer would know and he could ring someone in the middle of the night and ask them to do something. And the local knowledge, I mean, you can put it all down on computers, you can do what you like with it, but there's nothing like having someone who could sit in there and you know you could call them and they could help you out and get... I mean, often they would, if somebody was not too far away from the problem, they would know who to call. That's all gone.
Yeah. Well, that's Treasury, Norman. Treasury are the ones that are, I mean, DIY would happily do all this work, wouldn't they?
That work, when they had those teams, when they brought new guys in, they shadowed the other guys. So they picked it up, and it went down from generation to generation. But now, unfortunately, we've lost that, and we'll never get it back.
Yeah, I just wonder where that's going to go, because, as you say, if the stuff gets getting lumped onto DOI and their budget gets cut all the time.
I see drains now in Ramsden Johns, and I know they haven't been jetted. If I walk down past the forestry department there now, the water runs across the middle of the road because all those things are blocked. And they've been like that for 2 or 3 years.
Right.
And I could go on, but I'm not going to.
Well, no, we appreciate it, Norman. Thanks for that. Thanks, Norman. Thanks for calling today. It's that time of year, obviously, Norman says, and David said, that cloudburst at the weekend brought down a lot of leaves, and there are more to come as well. So that's the last thing we're going to be wanting, is flooded roads. So if drains need to be cleaned, they need to be cleared and they need to be jetted. But it's been mentioned, and you remember when Michelle Haydel was on this show a few weeks ago, was saying that DOI is trying to do more with less, really. Budgets really have effectively been cut or fractionally increased. So I'm going to have to say it again. It all comes down to money, doesn't it? It's always down to money. And because DOI's budget isn't what it used to be, and because, as Norman was saying, the direct labour force isn't what it used to be in many ways, then we have to, what's the phrase now? Suck it up. Looks like I'm not going to be a Manx Telecom customer again, says Stewie. Well, you can stay with Manx Telecom. You don't have to have a Manx.net account or the isleofman.org or isleofman.com. But what is currently free will cost you money. They'll cost you money in the future. They will cost you, well, £65 a year. Per address that you have. If you have a couple of addresses or maybe three addresses, that's best part of £200 it's going to cost you. Whereas at the moment, you get it free simply by being a Manx Telecom customer. They've obviously made a decision regarding what's going to happen with this. I wouldn't mind if you'd actually get a signal all over the Isle of Man and good internet services. Yet Gmail and over email providers are free. This is hardly Manx to the max, is it? Says Marty in Snaefell. It's getting a bit expensive now, what we're paying for an email address and such. Now, if we all stood together and said, no, keep it, we don't need it, and this goes for, then that would change. Well, it just looks like Manx Telecom shifting the responsibility to this company that's been doing it for years, really. I think possibly under contract, but Janara have been doing it for a long time. Manx Telecom are basically focused on other parts of their business. So they've had that before. But it does seem to you, whichever way you dress it up, if you're currently you have an email via Manx Telecom, via the manx.net, and you want to keep it in the future, it will cost you £65 a year. Actually, discounted from £79. Not £80, £79 discount. Or you can pay £6.50 per month for an email address. How about the Manx government stepping in and taking a look at this, says Paul? It's profiteering. It's pressuring the general public to pay up or lose the important service that the vast amount of people and businesses on the Isle of Man use. So what's next? The Isle of Man Bank closing down and all accounts transferred to another bank? Surely this needs investigating, says Paul. Surely with the existing contract, says Will, with Telecom, should be given until the end of the contract before the next Telecom changeover starts, as it were. Our island has been destroyed due to works carried out by Telecom with no public liabilities. Now they're selling up and leaving us flooded and treeless. Well, that's not exactly true, is it? I mean, we'll accept a bit of emotion where this is concerned. But a message also in from George, who just said, didn't Manx Telecom get a big wadge of cash for putting fibre out? It was upwards of £12 million, wasn't it, that they got for that? So all this stuff about subsidising Manx.net, really, especially as Basalt aren't that much to do with the... Basalt is the company that owns Manx Telecom. It's a hedge fund. Does anybody know if Manx Telecom, Isle of Man Bank, Island Energy and indeed Tesco, M&S pay tax on the Isle of Man? Their profits made on the Isle of Man, says Gadge. You'd have to look at their accounts to find out more. But remember, Manx Telecom is owned by Basalt. Manx Gas is owned by Ancala. Isle of Man Bank is owned by NatWest International in Jersey. Well, luckily, the electricity and the water is owned here. And, of course, we do have a bank, Conister Bank, I think, is based in the Isle of Man. Well, I wonder what you think where this is concerned. Are you going to be changing over your email address or will you be coughing up for this is concerned? Manx Telecom will be getting a percentage off this, but distance themselves from basic basically and the price rise. It's time for one of the big providers we've allowed to come to the Isle of Man, says Tony. Get a big provider over here. I just wonder what you think where this is concerned. We don't know the details of what it is. I'm sure it'll come out later on as to what the... But, I mean, so Manx Telecom is giving Manx.net or this other company, Janara, taking responsibility for the whole thing now. So it's not on Manx Telecom's books anymore. But the money that you pay, £65 a year, will be going to this other company. So they're going to get the money out of it. Well, I wonder what you think about this. I mean, it's a price rise, isn't it? Isn't it a price rise? This is a shock, says Mark, when others are free. It's not easy to cancel as Manxnet addresses are as many usernames and are on website, banks, Sky, shopping and what have you. So you have to pay up or have a lot of hassle changing if you've got your Manxnet address. And of course, Manx Telecom will know this and the other people will know this. Lots of people have used their Manx.net accounts or their Isleofman.org accounts or Isleofman.com accounts. They've used those, as you say, as usernames and will be signed up to all sorts of subscriptions and to newsletters and this, that, and the other. So, of course, it's going to be an absolute neck ache, isn't it, to sort all this out? But you have to sort it out or you cough up. You can either, you know, cough up or ship out, really. And that's the big... It's nice just before Christmas, isn't it? Anyway, you've got to register, basically. You've got to register from today, the 21st of October. You've got until the 20th of January to register. The subscription starts the day after, Wednesday, 21st of January. So if you haven't registered and told them what payment plan you're going to be on... The suspension period will be on for 3 months, January the 21st to the 20th of April next year. And if you've not joined and chipped your money in and what have you, then from the 21st of April, that account will be deleted. All the history and everything gone forever. Those are the dates from today till the 20th of January to register. 21st of January, the whole thing starts. If you haven't got in by then, you have 3 months to jump in or jump out at £65 a year. Well, I wonder. The government are responsible for this. The government are responsible for fencing, ditching and drainage of the railways after some of the railway track beds were unused. I believe this is still the case. So is the government responsible for the railway bed? Basalt are selling people's data, whether they choose the service again or not, says Will. Is this true? Well, you will be handing your data over, won't you? I mean, it will be to another company. And let's hope it's completely ring-fenced and behind a firewall and everything. But it is. And of course... It is tempting, isn't it, to think, well, it's Manx.net, therefore it must be on the Isle of Man, and it's literally behind a 6-foot wall all around our coast. It's not. It's in the cloud. It's in outer space. It's cyberspace, of course. It's atrocious, this email service and its cost. When you pay for your mobile or broadband, you expect the service to be included, not as an added extra. I think this is profiteering. So there we are. And a message in from Simon saying, and I noticed that suddenly Shaw's changed. Shaw is owned by somebody else. Shaw is owned by, I think it's Bayon, whatever they're called. Is it Bayon? I think it's Bayon. They're called, they are a company in Bahrain. So Shaw by Bayon. So that's Bahrain. Basalt are owning Manx Telecom. It's a global world, isn't it? It's a big world. I wouldn't want to clean it, though. What do you think? So you have to pay. If you're going to keep your Manx.net email account, you're going to have to pay for it. Any thoughts on that? Now, have you had any roofing done lately? A Manx roofing firm is urging people to make sure that the company they're using for building work is reputable before using them. Charlie D. Roofing Services says it's seen an increase in the number of people having dodgy work done on their properties. Some of the customers are now thousands of pounds out of pocket after falling victim to, bluntly, well, these people are just scammers. They're robbers. Giselle D. is from Charlie D. Roofing, and she takes up the story.
In the last 4 to 5 weeks, we had, I think it was about 8 calls where they'd asked them to do work, paid $6,500, or some were paying up to £10,000, some smaller amounts for works being done. And they all seemed to be elderly, and some were also disabled. So some were on pension and disability allowance. And they'd then paid this money for the works to be done, and the work was either worse than before. You know, one lady in particular, her living room is now completely ruined. So curtains are ruined, flooring's ruined, along with the works not actually being done. So when we've gone to check the job that's supposed to have been done for $6,500, none of it had been done. And I think for the elderly, especially, for them to go up on a roof and check these things, it's not as easy. So just asking for before, during and after collage works of the works that has been done, so you know exactly what's been done, that can help.
And you went on Google, didn't you, to try and just see how big an issue this was? And so what was the situation that you saw there?
There was loads. There was so many different companies, not just roofing, but just so many different building companies that aren't registered and obviously no address or anything like that. So probably not paying taxes, probably not got any business insurance.
And do you think this is a problem that's getting worse then?
Definitely. 110%. Yeah. I mean, going off tangent a little bit, but we don't really have to produce ID to come to the Isle of Man, I don't think. So people are just coming over in the UK work vans. You can quite clearly see that they've got a UK registered number plate and then they're just working. So, you know, if we're not doing checks on who's coming into the Isle of Man, people can just come over, rinse the Manx public and then go back to wherever they've come from. You know that these guys are not going to start intimidating them and threatening them, which some of the clients that we've been speaking to, and I'm sure others as well, they've been getting threatened in their homes if they take them to trading standards. And it's daunting, I think, but as an elderly and disabled woman, it's really quite scary.
Well, that was Charlie D. Giselle D. from Charlie D. Roofing Services. We've asked government for a response to some of the issues raised. Passenger verification at the Isle of Man's ports is something that's being considered by DHA as part of the Securing Our Island strategy. In October 2024, last year, a year ago, the OFT, the Office of Fair Trading, urged people to remain alert to traders who were making unsolicited home visits on the Isle of Man. Remember, cold calling is illegal. It's against the law. If somebody cold calls, you are perfectly within your rights to call the police. What they're doing is illegal. If anybody believes that they may have engaged a rogue trader, if you think you've engaged somebody who's just a bit dodgy, you're urged to contact the Office of Fair Trading, 686500, the OFT, police 631212. 631212. Again, cold calling is illegal. If somebody pitches up at your door, knocks on the door and says, oh, I'm a builder and we're doing work on a house down the road, that's a lie, first of all. And we've been looking at your roof and you've got a couple of slates loose. We're just down the road. We could do that one afternoon. It's a lie. It's illegal. You're perfectly entitled. Well, first of all, you can scare them off and say, can I have your business card? I'll call you back later. They won't have one. It's a lie. And if you know anybody who's been subject to this and they haven't complained, they must complain. If people are here and if illegal UK traders are trying to scam Manx customers, remember, lots of the businesses on the Isle of Man, the legitimate businesses, pay money to get accredited, to get everybody trained. They have the requisite insurance in place. And if it goes wrong, you can call them because they live on the Isle of Man. If these cowboys come over, do work, clear off and take the money and run, it's illegal. Just remember that. OFT 686500, police 631212. I missed it, by the way. Register for what? You've got to register to keep your Manx.net account. I'm only involved with Manx Telecom on my landline. I've been looking at getting fibre for my internet connection, and whoever I look at want to charge me to bring it to my house. What was the payment of millions to Manx Telecom supposed to cover, says Pete? I think getting it to the curtilage of your property. I think the charge comes getting it from there into your property. I know it's a pain. If you're looking to entice people to move to the Isle of Man, charges for setting up an email on the Isle of Man is yet another reason why it's going to be unattractive. Didn't anybody think this through? Thank you, 841, for that. I heard an interview with a lady from the Office of Fair Trading Standards, and she pretty much said to re-roof an average small-sized house would cost no more than the equivalent price of a small to medium-sized car. I know people, says Sammy, who've been ripped off by cowboy builders. Well, they must report it, Sammy. You've simply got to report it. First of all, you complain to the Office of Fair Trading, and if these are dodgy people coming from off the Isle of Man, call the police. You're perfectly entitled to. These people are breaking the law. Romania, says 603, is a vast country, and transporting cargo by horse and cart. But it's still very common, even on main roads, you will never lose a mobile phone signal driving over a mountain or indeed under it. How come we suffer this on the Isle of Man? You can have cold calling from a phone call or messaging, says Barry. You can, Barry, but of course that call may come from across. We don't know. But if anybody knocks on your door and gives you the whole spiel about, you know, oh, we just happen to have a load of asphalt left over, a bit of tar left over, we can do your drive. Rubbish. Rubbish. It's illegal. They're on the con. In reply to the storing on the roofing contractors, MACCS was set up to check and register tradespeople, but they're at fault, says this time-served tradesman. Just give me more information on that, would you? Right, so text, email, call and what? Lots of calls coming through, lots of messages regarding this situation where the having to pay now for email addresses. Did you know the DOI workforce has gone from 300 to 90? All the knowledge passed down from the older workmen about the lay of the land. You have subcontractors making shortcuts, says 821. Again, more information will be helpful on that. And again, the DOI, if the DOI are getting their budget cut, quite frankly, I don't know what we expect them to do, because you can't get a quart out of a pint pot. Does that mean if I call the police when MHKs come calling next year, that doesn't count? Gee, by the way, that's not cold calling. They're not trying to sell you anything. Well, apart from themselves, obviously, but they will have something in their hand. They'll have a manifesto in their hand. So that doesn't. I appreciate the point, but it doesn't count. Well, and I had a new roof. The roofer was brilliant and it was money well spent, says 376. Well, name check them. Let's say hello to them as well. We think this Janara thing is hosted in Queensland in Australia. I think, do you remember the issues that Manx Telecom had with Manx.net over the past months, possibly years? They always refer to their contractor in Australia. So if Janara is in Queensland in Australia, so it's the other side of the world, but we live in a global village. Are the McDonald's contractors paying Manx tax and NI? It would be interesting to know, wouldn't it? It would be very interesting to know. So do you think Manx Telecom will get a commission on each account? We don't know. It's Manx Telecom's business. It is their business. it would have been fairer to offer a divert to a new email of our account for a year or so, so people have proper time to update it. Also, it's a high price to pay for a service provider that Adrian says he doesn't think is very reliable. Well, I'll be honest with you, I've had a Manx.net address for years and years and years. It's never, I mean, apart from the odd glitches that there have been when sometimes it has a hiccup for a few days, it's been okay. But it is £65 a year. And again, if you're in business, if you've got more than one email address, this, I know it's only, what is it, £65 a year is a pound a week. Okay, so we're looking at 15 per day really for it, but it's a charge that wasn't there before, and we're basically being given a couple of months notice about this. Atrocious, says Robert. When you pay for a mobile or broadband, you expect the service to be included, not extras. So any thoughts on this, and any thoughts, have you had any scam dodgy tradesmen calling at your door recently? Anybody offering the world? And of course, it will always be, well, we don't have to charge VAT. You can pay cash. Don't have cash? We'll take you to the cash machine. No problem.
With Ellen Van In Fuels, home heating oil is made easy. With our free smart monitoring system, you'll never run out or have to think about ordering. Our online accounts and easy payment plans make it really simple to manage. Ellen Van In Fuels can even help with new tanks, boilers and servicing. Combine all that with reliable, efficient deliveries and we've got it covered. Just call us on 84 4000. Ellen Van In Fuels, making life easier.
Spectrum Windows. Make it look like new again. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Quality through and through. Great work guaranteed to you. Spectrum Windows, Spectrum Windows. Spectrum Windows.
Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
EdSpace's mission is all about breaking the silence and tackling the high suicide rate on our island. We run weekly, safe, confidential peer-to-peer support groups so no one feels alone with their struggles. Check edspace.im or email info@edspace.im. We're also on Facebook as EdSpace, Ed's Man Club and Women's Talk.
This advert is brought to you by Kell Properties.
Jump on Groundall Glen Railway's family-friendly, not-so-scary Hop-to-Nay train this October 25th or 26th and travel to see Ginny the Witch in her lair. Includes train travel, refreshments and a children's gift from Ginny. Booking essential. Visit gtr.org.uk.
The previous message was brought to you by QVH, the island's premier serviced offices and co-working space in the heart of Douglas. Call 639 940 for more information or visit qvhpremierofficespace.com.
Tonight at 5:30 here on Manx Radio, join Kiri Kermode and myself, Simon Clark, for Countryside.
I caught up with Manx National Farmers Union President Ian Parsons from Balgeen Farm in Laxey.
I had a chat with Alison Leonard, the Managing Director of Manx Birdlife, to find out the latest news from some of the surveys. And also, I visited the pumpkin field to find out how they grow them and how things had been, how popular it was with this year's Hop-to-Nay coming up.
That's all in Countryside tonight here on Manx Radio at 5:30. And don't forget, you can download or subscribe to the podcast for free at manxradio.com.
The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Hey, Faster Man, good afternoon. 12:45. It's, what is it? It's a Tuesday, isn't it? It's a Tuesday. Feels like a Wednesday. Anyway, it's Tuesday and it is the 21st of October. The leaves going up Strang Road. Horrendous! Accident waiting to happen on the pavements, says Pat. There's a lot of it around at the moment. DOI had over 300 staff on the ground. This is 671 who tells me there are 64, not 19 now. It's very quietly been cut, hasn't it? Does this ManxNet problem include a Hotmail account? Wouldn't have thought, it's a different company, isn't it? But the ManxNet you're going to have to pay for in the future. Thank you also to Today's show illustrates, says Ian, how the island's population is being let down by the government. It appears that instead of having local businesses, there's a move to make what should be essential local services run by non-Manx companies. Even Manx Telecom effectively is no longer a Manx. Essential businesses should be retained here and answerable to the Manx government and the public, in my opinion, says Ian. Well, of them, of course, electricity and water, Manx Utilities, that's fine. Isle of Man Bank, Jersey. Isle of Man Energy, a Manx Gas, Ancala, in a hedge fund. Manx Telecom, in a hedge fund. Shaw, well, now owned by a Bahrain company. It was Cable and Wireless, but now it's Batelco, are the company. Batelco is based in Bahrain. So there we are. If you've got a problem with Shaw, contact Abdullah bin Khalifa Al Khalifa. He's the chairman of the board at Batelco for Shaw. It is a global, quite what we expect the government to do, though. I mean, the government is powerful within our confines, but as far as the world goes, well. Do we get 3 months, by the way? £6.50 a month is £65 a year. Well, you pay more. If you pay annually, obviously, you get a discount, basically. If you pay monthly, you have to pay more. That's how that works. 753. It's the discount. Emails will still be free in the Channel Islands, the same company that owns Manx Telecom, says... I'm trying to think. Is Jersey Telecom owned by the same people? Jersey Telecom is owned by the states of Jersey. So the states of Jersey, the States Assembly owns Jersey Telecom. That's the parent company anyway. Well, there we are. If you're involved in sport, by the way, I got a note in from Ronnie who said, can you mention the fact that there's a consultation going on and we need people who are involved in sport to get involved? The organiser Isle of Man Sports launched its Sporting Nation survey and he wants to hear about your experiences across, well, anything from athletics, if you're an athlete or a coach or a volunteer or a parent or a carer. Louise Corkill is the sports liaison officer at Isle of Man Sport. If you want to take part, there's a choice of three surveys, one for participants, one for parents and carers, and one for coaches, volunteers and officials. Now, the deadline to take part is Sunday 30th of November, and you've been encouraged to complete the survey. Go to islemansport.com and click on to our Sporting Nation survey. Alternatively, you can get hard copies of the survey from the reception desk at the NSC, or you can get an email sportsliaison@gov.im. So if you're involved in sport or you have something to say about sport, then they'd like your opinion about this. So athletes, coaches, volunteers, parents, carers, anybody really involved in this, they'd like to hear from you. That email address, well, the website address is isleofmansport.com. isleofmansport.com. Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
Hey, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
I'm just wondering how much they're going to keep increasing your internet once you pay for it. Your domain name or whatever it's called, your email address.
Yeah, that did cross my mind because once you're in, aren't you?
Yeah, well, the thing is, once you start, you will never stop. And the other thing is that if you go and try and do something now, because you've got some time, it'll be a nightmare later. I think the government has failed miserably as far as telecom is concerned. They originally had just the one, which was Manx Telecom. Then they spouted out about how wonderful it was. We're going to open this up and give it to somebody else. So they got Shure in. And that's basically, then they took their eye off the ball and it ended up owned by somebody else now. So our control over it is zero. So they're just going to do what they want. So what the government needs to do now is step up and say, right, we're going to bring in somebody else as a competition. And all of a sudden, you'll see all these charges disappear because the competition will stop them wishing to make lots of profit out of the Isle of Man where you're stuck with it. And I don't think there's anybody in the government that's got enough, shall we say, stomach for that. But we'll see. But that would solve some of the problem. You would have more competition like you have got across. As opposed to right now, we are just in a box and we've got no choice.
I think it depends, Tony, on how we view ourselves as a nation. Whether, you know, we're willing to just say, well, all right, these people are much bigger than us, we better do it anyway, and here's £65 a year and whatever it costs in the future. You, as you say, do you think the government's got the stomach for that? Do you think the government's got the wit and the wisdom to do something about that?
Well, they didn't have any wit and wisdom when they decided to give money to Manx Telecom and not get anything back. So they don't own any of the network. It's owned by the company they gave the money to. So he threw whatever it was, £10 million down a drain and said, here's a present for you. So what we should be doing is going back to whoever made that decision and say, you are responsible for this and we're going to take your pension off you. About time to start doing something that makes people responsible for their decisions. Because this is ludicrous. It's just the usual, oh, well, we can't do anything about it because it's their private companies. We'll open it up, we'll make it completely open, and we'll see how many companies are willing to come over here. And basically, everybody has to pay Manx Telecom for the use of their network anyway, including Sure. So that needs to stop. Why are we paying? It's like having an electricity company, like we've got, and then letting somebody else run it for us and charge what they want. Why don't we just give it to Ørsted? That would make a lot of sense, wouldn't it? Because that's what they'll do in the end. I just give up. You can go out and get an email address from half a dozen different suppliers, and you don't pay a penny. So why are we being charged? And the answer is, because they can.
Right. Because obviously lots of people on the Isle of Man will have decades-old email addresses that will be embedded in websites and newsletters and this, that, and the other.
In all of everything they do, all of their communications, how are you going to change all those? It's a nightmare. And the company who's charging you knows that. So you need to encourage them to change their mind, which would say, OK, you're not having a monopoly anymore. Might be a thought, but of course I wonder which of our wonderful ministers is going to stand up and even suggest that. Okay. What do you reckon?
Well, we'll leave that question hanging in the air, Tony. It's good to talk to you.
Well, who's responsible for it? Because we've got a Quango involved in it now, telling us we're going to cut shut off the copper network. So who's actually responsible for it physically? I've no idea.
All right. Right, we'll get to the bottom of it, Tony. Thanks for calling today. I want to get to Mark now. Hello, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Andy. Just a quick one on Manx Telecom and mobile phones generally. My sons went to university. They got a UK number, I think with Vodafone. One of them's moved back, and he still keeps his UK number because it's cheaper to have a UK number over here. And I think a lot of it is to do with, as you say, it's like, I like having a Manx mobile number, 7624.
Yeah.
My son doesn't really care. And he just, it's cheaper for him to have a Vodafone, use it on the Isle of Man. And when he goes, obviously goes to the UK and around Europe, traveling or on holiday, it's far cheaper than roaming. So I think Manx Telecom's days are numbered, I think. And they're just relying on us old farts who like the 7624 number.
Yeah, you know? And the thing is, it's always, as far as I'm concerned, I've used a Manx.net email address for as long as they've been around. And it's always been, I've always enjoyed sending it because inevitably people say, well, what's that all about? What does Manx mean? And it's a conversation and suddenly the Isle of Man comes into it. So, and you just wonder, what the thinking. I mean, obviously, the thinking behind this is money. It always is. But I mean, surely they know there's another element to this.
Well, yeah, I agree. And I think the younger generation are far more savvy in getting deals than I am. And they help their mum and dad shop online now in terms of getting the best deals here, there, and everywhere. And yeah, I mean, I think when my other son hopefully does come back, I don't think he'll change to a Manx number. He'll keep his UK number because it's cheaper as well. So, yeah, just wanted to say that as a personal... Yeah, I think about that as well. Anyway.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mark. Good to hear from you.
All right, cheers. Take
5-1 now. We've been sold out by the government, says Gary, without our knowledge or our well-being, in my view. Underhanded measures, need I say more? Well, say a bit more. The increased cura, the governing body, will have something to say about this, or will our 24 MHKs, says Moira. Well, I don't know. That it comes under cura. Cura is the Communications and Utilities Regulatory Authority, and they regulate Manx Telecom and Shaw and people like that. So whether or not this comes under them... By the way, John said Manx Telecom's revenue in 2018 was £81 million. It would be nice to know, you know, how Manx Telecom is doing at the moment, and how Basalt, the hedge fund, figures all this out. I mean, figure it out then. If, let's just say there are, and there may be more, but just say there are 40,000 manx.net, islandman.com email addresses, and that's £65 per year. Work that out. How much that? 40,000 times £65. Exactly. It's all about money, isn't it? If the Treasury don't get taxes on profits made in the Isle of Man, there'll come a point when our money pot has all been leached away to the UK and the Channel Islands. Thank you, Gaz. And thank you for being part of Man in Line today. Back with another open line tomorrow, Wednesday. And thanks to Chris on the phones today. WINT.